Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. Good to be seen. And we're thankful for all of you who participate. And, one of the things that sometimes we forget when we're being thankful for is how many people show up here even before I get here to make what happens here this morning happen. You know, our worship team and our technical team are here, you know, before all of us. And so when you see them, give them a big thank you, because you got to sleep in a little longer than they did. Anyway, yeah, it was a good night, Friday night, and it's been a good week. God is faithful and always with us. This morning, the message title is here. Sorry, here. Maybe I need to turn it on. That always works. And not always. Let me see. Come on. I'm not getting it to move. There we go. Title of my message this morning is Stop Holding Your Breath. And I know... here's our scripture for this morning. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to take that home. This is your homework. This is your homework. You get homework, yeah? I want you to take that verse and memorize it. I want you to have it deep in your heart. Hold on to it. And though I'm not going to take this verse and pick it apart this morning or dissect it for us, I want it to be sort of the foundation where we're going. I have a question for you. How many of you have ever been watching a sporting event? Do we have any hands? Anybody admitting it? Why would you? I ask you this. Have you ever been at either a hockey game or a football game? Could be any game, really. Where we're down to the last few seconds, and your team is this close to winning, but they're not there yet. And all that's needed is just that couple of points, that one point, and it could happen. And so what they do is, if they're in hockey, like they pull the goalie so they can have, or in football, you know, they decide they're going to kick the ball through the goals. And so you find yourself sitting on the edge of your seat, watching the clock count down, holding your breath. Kind of, is it going to go this way? Is it going to go that way? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, you don't even realize you're holding your breath. And, it's the same with us in life. Sometimes there's things happening in our life, and we're sitting on the edge waiting for something, and we're holding our breath. Which way is it going to go? And yet, we read this scripture this morning, but thanks be to God. He gives us the victory. It's not even something is it going to go this way? Is it going to go that way? He's already given us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Through our Lord Jesus. A couple of Sundays back, and it might have even been last Sunday, I shared with you how I was holding my breath. As I, you know, every, before the board meeting, we have once a month, just the week before, Rebecca gets together the financials and she sends them out. And I open the email and I look at the financial to see how we're doing. And I found myself always doing the, what's it going to look like this time? And so I go to the prayer meeting that night after the financials, and I know you guys were here. And as we were praying together Sunday nights, and I said, let's pray for the church's finances. And as we're praying, the Lord speaks to me. And he says to me, you're holding your breath. And that's not faith. And I thought, oh, Lord. You know, the Lord has done some pretty marvelous things. I don't know if you realize, but it's just over a year now I've been lead pastor here. And we walked through some really hard times the last few years. And we walked it together. And our hearts were broken in some places or whatever, but we came through. And even at the end of the year, we looked at our finances and thought, how are we going to make this? How are we going to do this? And we saw God move in the hearts of some people that brought us to a place that was, look what the Lord has done. And yes, he uses people to bless us. Look what the Lord has done. And you know, then we see, you know, like it says, you open up finance, you see that little negative mark and you get all, but why would he stop being the Lord of abundance? Now, we were talking about our community cupboard is opened, and Monica has worked very hard in getting that together, and we have a good problem, and that is we don't have enough shelves or fridge or freezer space for what's coming in. That's our God. He's a God of abundance, and it's coming in ways we don't even look at or expect. And that's where we're going this morning. One of the things the Lord challenged me at this, and this is, I'm speaking to you as well, is sometimes we look at a bottom line and say, this is the indicator of what God is doing. Is he with us or isn't he? And as I use my own experience to say that financial thing, when the Lord challenged me on it, that's not a place of faith. What was I listening to? I was listening to all the voices of the past, if I can put it that way. Some of the teachings of the things, some of the things from very respected people who have said things like this, that, you know, God is a God of abundance. He'll provide for your ministry, and if he's not, then it's time to shut down because that's a dry well. I've heard that. I've had taught that. So I'm hearing these voices, and then the Lord challenged me on that. Not everything you hear is, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily how they taught it, but that's how I received it. And I realized I was looking at the bottom line of a financial sheet to make a decision or to kind of understand, is the Lord in this here? And I realized how silly and ridiculous that thinking was. Where did I get this from? And again, the voices of the past that were, things of the past that were talking to me. Well, the Lord had promised us he's doing a new thing here, amen? He's doing a new thing. And I want to ask you this morning, what's causing you to hold your breath? What situations do you find yourself in where, yeah, you're holding your breath, you're not sure, is it going to go this way or this way? You're uncertain about the outcomes of what you're hoping for, what you've been praying for. I'm looking for this and I'm hoping for this, but you're holding your breath waiting for it to happen. Maybe it's family that haven't come to the Lord yet, or ones who've walked away are prodigals and we're looking for them to return. You've been praying and praying and seeking God and interceding for them, but you haven't seen him. And then the next thing is this it, Lord? We're holding our breath. Is this the time they're going to turn back? Maybe you're in the same place for healing. Or maybe it's a work situation, a job situation, looking for a job or a promotion or something like that. Maybe it is your finances. Or maybe it's relationship issues. You're praying into it, but you're holding your breath rather than knowing that you have the victory already in Jesus. You know, this morning I'm not going to say to you I have 5 points or 5 steps to success or 8 points pegs to hang this message on. But I don't have that this morning. I'm going to tell you what I do have. Amen. I have the word of God. Amen. And anybody here not have a Bible in their house? If you don't, you don't have to put up your hand, but if you don't, come to us. We'll get you one. It's the word of God. It's not the word of Pastor Shannon. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that we want in our hearts. We want to trust what he says. Trust what he's doing. Look to him for where we're going. He's the one who promises. He's the one who is our living hope. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He is our victory, and he's full of victory. And his victory is ours. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know what he's done? Have you seen what he has provided? Do you know that you share in his inheritance? And what does that inheritance look like? I'll tell you what, it's in here. It's in here. And you know what? That's your challenge. Get in here. Hunt it out for yourself. Because I can stand up here and share, and it's good. But until you take it for yourself, I can scatter seed, but it's up to you to take it. Take hold of it. Let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to you. All you have to do is ask. It's so simple. He's made it so simple. You just have to ask. When things, when we find ourselves holding our breath, waiting for the outcome that we're hoping for, that we've been praying for, one of the things that happens is it can stall us. Stall us from moving forward. I know a couple of weeks ago I talked about being stuck in the muck. Stuck in our thinking and our way of doing things. But we have a scripture here that says, thanks be to God who has given us the victory in our Lord Jesus. Isaiah 43, or coming back to Isaiah 43, verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. When we dwell on the past, you know what we start doing? We start comparing what we know, and it becomes our expectation of the here and now. We think we know how things should look. And we're expecting it, and we look for it. But what this is telling us, let's stop looking back to what we know, to what we think we know. Thinking it's going to be the same or the similar. God is doing something new. I'll get there. But God is doing something new, and he says, can you perceive it? It's a spirit thing. It's not a, can you see it with your natural eyes? Do you perceive what the Lord is doing? How many of you think the Lord is doing something out in our world today? In spite of all the yucky, ugly darkness that is creeping in. Well, it's not even creeping in. It's kind of flooding in, isn't it? Is the Lord still at work in the earth? Yes. Yes, he is. You see, I'm doing a new thing. And, you know, sometimes we can get all freaked out by all the stuff we see going on. But who has the victory? And who are we? In him, we have the victory. Already, it is our. We know what the outcome is. Hey, anybody read the end of the book? We win. We win. We've won. We've won. Now, we may have to walk some hard stuff, some tough stuff, but we've already won. The victory is ours in Jesus. It is ours because of what he's done. How many of you love your Lord? I love the song, As the Deer Panteth for the Water. So my soul, oh, Lord, you're so good. Good, good Father, all my life you've been faithful. Even when I didn't see it, when I didn't notice it, even when I was off in the world mucking around out there, he's been faithful. He's been faithful. Oh, thank you, Lord. See, I am doing a new thing. Can you perceive it? I love this. Hebrews 11:1. Again, all of these are scriptures we know well. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. It's assurance. You know what? If you're assured of something, you don't have to hold your breath waiting for it to happen. You're assured of it. And that's our God. Every promise we hear and we read we have assurance of in Jesus. We don't have to hold our breath. Last week, how many of you really enjoyed Ed last week? Ed and Sherry were here visiting with, man, powerful preacher. I got to have lunch with them afterwards, and this speaks to your hearts, if I can put it that way. He says, man, there was freedom in this place. There was a freedom of the Lord in this place, and he felt he could preach like that. Praise God, right? Didn't we benefit? Oh, my goodness. Because there's freedom in this place. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Freedom. And we have this confidence in what God is doing, this assurance, that though we don't see it yet. Now, I want us to, I'm not going to put the scripture, I forgot to put the scripture in here, I'm sorry. So if you got your Bibles, whether it be on phone or whatever, we're going to turn to the book of Genesis. And we're going to turn to chapter 12. And we're going to look, starting at verse 1, we're going to read the first 3 verses here. It says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's house, to the land I'm going to show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, I want you to know, here's Abe. We can call him Abe. He doesn't have Google Maps with street level search. God says, I'm going to take you to the land that I'm going to show you. And I want you to leave your country, your people, and your father's household. It's all he's got. Follow me. I'm going to take you somewhere. And that's what Abraham does. He steps out, follows God to where God is leading him. Not knowing, I'm just hearing your voice, Papa. I'm just following you, Lord. I don't know if he called him Papa, but I do. You know that. He trusted where God was taking him. Now, let me give you a little bit of background about Abraham and his father, Terah. Now, you aren't going to find some of this in the Bible. You have to go to history, Jewish history stuff. So Terah is his father. Terah is actually one of the lead men in Nimrod's armies. Anybody know who Nimrod is? King Nimrod. Ever heard of the Tower of Babel? There's the king. I'm going to build one to the sky. I'm going to get, you know, be as high as God. So here's Abraham's father. He's one of the head men in this idol-worshipping king. But guess who Terah is? He's an idol worshiper. He doesn't worship the one true God. He worships idols. And in fact, he had a business and sold them. Now, the reason I bring that up is because Abraham grows up in a household where God is not preached. All kinds of things. You accept, some of us are coming from that. Our background is either no God or some of the gods that are, you know, maybe they're New Age or whatever. There's all kinds of things that are out there. But God was still able to reach Abraham. God is not limited. He doesn't work like we work. And he was able to connect with Abraham and lead Abraham out to Canaan, where he said, I'm going to make you a people. You're going to be my people. It's through Abraham that we're here today. We call him the father of faith, all right? So we understand how good God is and what he is able to do in spite of our background. Hey, just a little history for you about Terah, Abe's father. He was 70 years old when he started having children. So he had 3 sons at 70 years old, Abraham being the first. And he died when he was 205. So he's 70 years old when he has Abraham. And it says Abraham is 75 when he leaves his father and goes off. So that makes Terah 145 years old when Abe and his family go off. Which means he would have been, how old was Abraham when he had Isaac? No, how old was Abraham? He was 100. He was 100. Which means if his father was 70 years old when he was born, how old is his father now? When Abraham was 100. 170 years old when Isaac was born. Grandpa was still alive. Grandpa Terah was still alive when Isaac was born. So that means that Isaac was 35 years old when his grandpa died. You know, sometimes we see a story end and we think somebody, you know, they're done and they died and whatever. But grandpa was still around. Anyhow, that's just for your information. More than that. But here is the other thing. You know, the Bible tells us about Abraham following God precisely with every instruction God had given him, right? Did Abraham do that? Abraham did not follow God's instructions precisely. He did leave his father's house and he did leave the land he was in, but he took his nephew Lot with him. And we know that created some troubles. Sometimes when we do things kind of out of sync with what God says, that brings some troubles to our day. But I'll tell you what, it didn't change God's plan. It didn't interrupt what God was doing. God still got Abraham where he needed to be. Abraham's had some issues, but it's okay. But that's our God. If he's got a plan and a purpose for you, step out into it. And even if you wobble in the walk, he'll get you to where he needs to be. Who's the Alpha and the Omega? Who's the beginning and the end? Jesus. Who's the author and the finisher of your faith? Jesus. Who is it?
Jesus.
Is it you?
No.
Say it again. Who is it?
Jesus.
Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We just have to be faithful in listening to his voice and stepping out into what he says and where he's called us. We may have a bit of a wobble, but we'll get there. He will get us there. God is faithful to his promises, and Abraham trusted him, not knowing or seeing the land he was going to. He just trusted and followed him. God is faithful. Now, whoops, I'm going to step back for just a second here. I'm getting ahead of myself. In Isaiah 43, again, we read it. God said, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Was Abraham having to leave the past to go to the new land? Yes, he was. He's an example. And God says to us, see, I am doing a new thing. I am. Anybody heard that name before? I am is doing a new thing. Now let me go to my little crazy picture. Some of you are going to know what this is. Some of you aren't. But I'm going to give you a little scenario. Let's say it's a nice cold October evening. You've been outside raking leaves or something like that. And you come in and you decide we need a nice little pot of hot chocolate. And you get the milk on the stove and you start heating it up. And you add the hot chocolate powder mix. And you turn to me and you say, Shannon, will you hand me a spoon so I can stir this? So I go over and I grab this and I hand it to you. And if you don't know what this is, you probably look at me and go, this is not a spoon. I need a spoon. And you can do two things. You can take hold of it and try and use it as a spoon, or you can go to a drawer and get the spoon yourself. Like, push me out of the way and say, I'll get the spoon myself. I need a spoon. Because you don't know what this is. You're looking. It's not. This is actually, how many have been to Mexico? Anybody else but me been to Mexico? And if you go down to Mexico, I call this a Mexican Mixmaster. If you take this and you put it in the pot with the little skinny stick at the top and you go like this in the pot, there's holes in the bottom of it, if I can put my little pointer on here, hold that point. Can you see? All here is holes that the liquid moves through and spins in and out, and it's a beautiful mixer. It sounds crazy. But you've never seen it before. Why would I use that? I've never seen it before. God's doing something new. And he might be wanting to hand us that, but we're looking for a spoon. Because that's what we know. That's what we know. Now it's about to spring up. Do you perceive it? Something new is coming. And it's something that we may not be able to actually see with our natural eyes yet, but we're sensing that change is coming, the revival is coming. And I'm excited about in a couple of weeks when Randy and Marty are going to come, because it was stirring in their hearts to do a revival meeting. We met with the board, and they shared their vision with the board, and I'm going to say the board was in agreement that we'll have this one night with them and see where the Lord leads. But I met with them the next day, and I said to them, how can we have a revival? How can you call it a revival meeting if revival hasn't broken out yet? Is that what we want to call this? But you know what? If we have a prayer meeting if we say we're going to have healing meetings, does anybody get offended because we say we're going to have healing meetings, but healings haven't happened yet? No. Because we're speaking out in faith. We're declaring and decreeing in faith what we know the Lord is wanting to do. And we're just saying, Lord, we don't know how it's going to look. We don't know how it's going to all play out from your spec. We're just taking steps into what you're doing. We're just a building. We're just a building. This is just a building that they're going to use, and we're going to come along and excitedly support. Lord, what are you doing? And we don't know what we're going to see or how it's going to come about, but we know that he is good and faithful, and he doesn't hand us something that is going to harm or hurt us. The Lord says, I am making a way. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wilderness. Or a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert, however you want to put it. I think that's the right way, sorry. Now let me ask you something. I'm looking for... I'm looking for a scripture here that... Oh, it is right. Let's move on. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. This is where I wanted to get to. So if you have your Bibles with me, you can turn to Exodus 16. Interesting little story. The children of Israel have been in captivity in Egypt, have just come out, walked through the Red Sea, seen God provide, and we come up to this place where they're in the desert, and they're starting to, okay, I'm going to start, I think I have verse 4, but I'm actually going to start at the beginning. The whole of Israel community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, interesting, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, oh, if we only had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. No, they didn't. They were in slavery. Hello. But you brought us out to the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Where was their focus? Their tummies and in the past. Oh, take us back to the land of leek and garlics. They're focusing on the past, and they were getting stuck in their view of the past because God wanted to do a new thing with these people, take them to a new place. Well, verse 4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, listen to this, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. I'm not going to read on. What did they say? He says, Lord says, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. And he also talks about he's going to send the quail at night. Let me just see if I... Is this what your image was, raining down bread from heaven? Why do we think... Well, yeah, you know, I hear he's going to rain down bread from heaven, and we get an image of what we know, of the what we understand. This is what we are. And so here's what happens. So they go out the next day. Again, they're comparing what they think they're going to see with what they know. And verse 14, it says, the Israelites walked out, and what they saw was white, flaky stuff all over the ground. Now, we know it today as manna. Does anybody... You guys remember what the word manna means? What is it? It don't look like that. What is it? You see, God was doing something new and he was providing for them. But if they hadn't stopped and picked up and followed what Moses had said to them, they would have said, I'm not touching that. I don't know. That's gross. It's laying on the ground. Why would I want that? I'm not putting that in my mouth. I'm waiting for the toast. And sometimes that's what we do when God is saying, I want to do a new thing, and we're stuck in the past and we keep looking at the former things. Revival, this is what it's going to look like. And so we can get stuck in thinking of how it's going to happen and how things are going to happen. This is how God's going to answer my prayer for healing. This is how God's going to answer my prayer for the relationship to be restored in my family. This is how he's going to do it. And I'm saying, so we hold our breath, and I'm saying, stop, breathe, you have the victory, and let him show you his ways. Because his ways are higher than our ways. I think that's the next scripture. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours. You know what? We can sit there and say, well, boy, you know, he's just telling us how stupid we are. Or you could see it this way. Aren't you grateful for God who says, my thoughts are higher than yours, and I'll lead you, because you can't see everything, because you don't have the experience to understand. You're still looking for toast in the desert when I want to give you manna. And there's things that he wants to bring to us that are going to be different than anything we've experienced before. And we're going to see him. And so as we wrap up here this morning, I want you to remember what he said in Isaiah. I'm doing something new. I am is doing something new. The great I am. And now it is springing up. And we want to perceive it with our spirit. We may not see it yet with our eyes, but we want to perceive it with our spirit. I am, he says, the I, great I am, is making a way in this wilderness, in this darkness, and streams in the wasteland, or streams in the water, folks, water. Water from a rock that doesn't make sense to us. Again, I've already said, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's also King of Kings. Amen? He is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth, but he is also the Lion of Judah. And he's about to roar, folks. King of King and Lord of Lords is what's written on his thighs. And he reigns above all creation. In fact, all creation is held together by him and through him. This is our security. It's not the bottom line on a spreadsheet. It's not the circumstances we find ourselves in. He is the ruler. He is King of Kings. And is he ever going to lose that throne? What ruler can take him down? What power can take him down? His plans remain supreme. He is our victor, and we have the victory in him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So let's stop holding our breath and wondering if he will be faithful to his promises. Let's take a deep breath. Let it go, knowing the I am has already done it for us. And we just need to trust him, take his hand, and follow him. For our God is a good God. And he's going to do way more than we can possibly dream or imagine. Our God is faithful. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, why don't you stand up, take a deep breath, and let's trust God. Amen? Amen. You're going to come and stand by me. Amen. All right. So, Father, as we go from this place today, we want to hear what you're doing. We want to perceive what you're doing. Help us, Lord, lay down all our preconceived expectations from the past and know that you are good, faithful, leading us into all the good things you have for us. We pray for strength and courage to step out into the new land and the new things you're calling us to. And so, God, again, I bless every person who's here this morning, everyone who's online, and all our friends and family. who are not able to be with us this morning, bless them, Lord. We raise them up to you and say, you are a good God. Touch their lives today. In your precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.